Welcome, BBS Radio people. This is Marilyn, and we are greeting people on our conference line. So hang in there. We're waiting for Wynn and Terry to join us, and that should be momentarily. But thank you for listening in. We appreciate it.
Are they doing every single Monday that is an interview, or just the one last of the, or just certain Mondays?
Just certain Mondays. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, this is Terry.
I thought it was you. Hi, yeah. Terry.
Hi.
This is Marilyn.
Hi, Terry.
Yes. Hi.
Morgan? Marilyn yes. Kay, we haven't talked in a long time, Terry.
Oh, hi.
Hi. You probably don't even remember me anymore.
Is that Michigan, Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan, Marilyn.
I remember. She probably can read your vibrations.
Yes, yeah. She can feel me, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Marilyn. This is Marilyn in Michigan.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Aaron.
How's your shoulder today?
Good. Really getting better now.
There comes Heist. Heist is honest on now. Hello,
pardon
Heist.
Me?
Heist is joining us.
Hi, Heist.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Heist Minderhout Megalia.
Ah, there he is.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Heist.
Hi.
Hello, you all.
Welcome, sir. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And I think I heard Don.
Yeah, Don, Northern Ohio. Hi.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hi, I guess.
Yeah, you got Ron here from Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Did you want to take over, Heist?
Everything sounds fine with me, Marilyn. It's up to you. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Right.
That's so nice of you.
So nice of you. Are we live on BBS Radio?
Yes, we are live.
All right.
And welcome to everyone on BBS. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Terry in Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hello.
How do you say hello in Dutch?
Hello.
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 So instead of hello, it's hollow.
Hello. Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
How about goodbye?
Tot ziens.
Say it again.
Tot ziens.
Tot ziens.
That's harder.
Not getting that.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, good evening. It's Eric in Santa Fe. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Eric. Welcome
Hello,
to
Eric.
The call.
Hi, Eric.
Hey,
Eric.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Heist.
All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. It's a blessing to be here and to have all those who are on board.
Yes. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Raiden Knight, Cave Creek, Arizona.
Hello, Raiden.
Good evening.
Hi, Raiden.
We're supposed to have the same tone to our voices, Raiden. I don't I don't understand.
Well, it's just probably that. It's probably that love light coming out of us or picking up.
There you go. That's it.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, sweetheart?
Hey, good. I saw our favorite Dr. Margolis.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, he's a dentist. Yeah, in Mesa,
Arizona. This is provided by Free Conferencing.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, this is Wynn.
I thought so. Hello, Wynn.
But I'm not telling anybody what city I'm in.
Okay. You're anonymous.
Terry, were you saying Dr. Mercola?
Dr. Margolis. Michael Margolis. He's a dentist in Mesa, Arizona.
Terry, you're bouncing off the walls.
That's because Wynn's got his phone on next to me.
Well, now we know what.
Yeah.
Now we know you're together and wherever you are.
Right. So if you remember where I am, you can see.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hello, it's Marshall from Chicago.
Hello, Marshall. Welcome.
Hey, Marshall. Hey. Hi, Marshall.
Hi, how you doing?
Are you away?
Hey, you know what? I just got my Wellness Oz machine, and that thing is kicking butt. It works so good. I just can't believe it. I've got so much energy. I am not kidding. I'm not just saying this because I'm a big fan of Wynn or anything like that. But I tell you what, this thing really works.
That's what I got out of it. After 3 days, I could tell big energy.
Yep, this is my third day, and I'm ready to build something.
There you go.
You charging your water, or what are you doing with it?
Just doing the water right now. I'm just charging up 3 glasses of water a day.
And you're ready to conquer the world.
What was that?
So now you're ready to conquer the world.
Yeah. Did I mute you, Marshall? Are you still there?
I think I moved you, Marshall.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hello, this is Steve.
I'm here now.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve from Wyoming.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Hello. Thank you.
I'm going to turn the things off.
Marshall, I'll send you some money later.
All right, cool. Thank you.
And let me do a sound check over here. Do we still have an echo, or are we good?
Wait a second. Terry, it's like either I got to go in the car in the cold world out there, or you have to mute yourself when I'm talking. Okay?
It's going to be tough.
I'll let you take over, Heiss. I'll mute myself.
Marilyn.
All right. I'll go in the car. All right. I can tell what I'm not wanted. But I have a choice of going into the car or into the bathroom. All right? The bathroom is going to be.
I think I like the car better. The visual for the bathroom is not good.
You know, all you guys are getting clairaudient and clairsentient. So.
Go in the sarcophagus.
That's why I said the car, not the bathroom.
Yeah, right. Well, go to the bathroom. Just don't forget to mute yourself.
We can do another group flush.
Yeah.
How many of you remember the group Flush?
I remember.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
What is that? That's been a while. We need to do another one.
Yeah. Not today.
Yeah, the local water pressure dropped 20 pounds.
That's what they need to do in Flint.
Yeah.
All right, as we are getting geared up,
yeah.
Again, I welcome everybody here with us on the phone line and those listening in on BBS Radio. Our Wednesday evening call, we got questions, we got answers.
Well, okay, now I should be getting a little clearer. Is this better?
You are okay.
Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, it's better.
Okay, I'm okay. You're okay.
Terry is great.
All right. Yeah, there we go. So we just came. Let me start the recording. Okay, we'll start.
Put the lines first, okay?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
It's the 27th.
This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Lynn and Terry in Phoenix on January 27th, 2016. And it's so cool to be with you all. And in fact, it's cool here in Phoenix. So it's nice to be with you all. And it's cool to be in Phoenix. And we had a funny visit with Terry Friedman today. He moved nursing homes, and he's in a smaller one. Terry, you're breathing into the mic. he's in a smaller home with just six people. And is that Terry?
It was Terry. She's doing better now.
She's doing better? Okay. People get mad at me for telling her that, okay? But she doesn't mind. Do you mind, Terry?
I don't realize I'm doing it. I could hear somebody breathing, but I didn't realize it was me, but I muted myself.
Okay, great.
It's okay to tell me because I don't want to make extra noise.
Right, right. So what do you think about visiting Terry tonight, Terry Friedman?
It was really, really good to see his new place and to meet his roommates over there. I had a good time visiting them. We shared lemonade. We brought them lemonade, and they liked it. Paul Newman lemonade. It tastes really good.
Yeah, we don't get a commission on this. I'll have you all know, but we love Paul Newman lemonade. It's very addicting. I don't know why. There's something different about that lemonade than any other lemonade I've ever drank. And let me look at our questions for tonight. We probably got, oh, here we go. We got some questions. We have some good questions.
You want to just move your microphone a little bit away from you, please?
There we go. Is that better?
Yep.
All right.
So far, so good?
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. I'm not going to ask Terry if she's ready. Terry, are you? You're not ready, are you?
No. I'm never ready. Because I have to. The Elohim have to be ready. Because I can't be the Elohim in the bathroom.
Well, they always seem to be ready, okay?
Yeah, they are. They're on alert.
Yeah. So, let's call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is we are part of the Elohim group and part of the Ra group, and we have come together for the purpose of answering and being of assistance to people in this group, but we are broader than that. We are of service to people who ask. We see the person's light. It is like a light bulb gets brighter when a person asks and prays and intends for the highest good, for the betterment of themselves and their friends and mankind. Do you have questions? We also want to say that if anything that we say does not resonate with you, please discard it. It is, as it is not right for you at that time and space.
Thank you. First question is from Don Herman, and Don asks, I don't have a city, but we don't need a city for this question, okay?
Ohio.
Ohio. Well, good. You know, we know. Okay. Hi, Don. If our experience of reality is a reflection of our beliefs, how can we most easily change a belief which is creating something we do not wish to continue experiencing? Thank you.
First of all, make sure that it is not your belief, because it may be the belief of the society. It might be the belief of a tag along that is with you. If it is hard to change a belief, there are several reasons why it might be hard. First of all, it might not be your belief. Second of all, there might have been an incident in your past where the belief was totally appropriate, but it was only appropriate for a short time and a short space of time. When someone, say, in a past life or even in this life, perhaps in an early part of one's life, receives a traumatic incident, it is recorded in the cells of the body, in the memory of the complex that is the person. And it is harder than to change the belief. For instance, if a person receives an injury in a past life or in this life, they tend to withdraw the energy from that area of the body, and the body gets the belief, and the person even gets the belief that if they're trying to get away from the traumatic experience, that's going to work to just withdraw their energy from that space and time. However, by withdrawing their energy from that space and time, the traumatic injury, even in the next life, stays with the person because they are providing the energy to the area to heal it. That is why individuals, when they have been injured in a past life, sometimes bring in birth defects in the area of the injury of the previous life.
I just wanted to say, when you're thinking of beliefs, that beliefs fall into different categories. There's conscious beliefs, like, for example, we read the newspaper, and people tend to believe what's in the newspaper. And those are easy to shift, but you know you can't pull a newspaper, it's not a trustworthy source. We are brought up in a certain dogma, religion, or no religion. And we have a tendency to believe the way we're brought up, even though it may have not complete substantiation in anything. It just becomes a habit pattern, and people believe it because they're brought up that way. We believe things because we have unconscious beliefs, things we don't even realize we believe. Those are probably some of the hardest ones to deal with, and those are the ones that come through from past lifetimes. And maybe just from, for example, wanting to be accepted. And so we go along, we incorporate the certain beliefs that are in consensus reality that just by believing in them, we feel more acceptable. Could you guys comment on those distinctions?
That is very true. One tends to believe when they are trained by a religion. They tend to believe in those tenets of the religion. And so you get very big differences, say, between some beliefs, even in the manner of dress, between different groups. The Mennonites dress differently. The young people dress differently in their trends, in dress. Different countries have different dress that they believe in. And so consensus reality and belonging and being a part of the society is something that can influence beliefs. There are many beliefs that aid in survival, like that the stove is hot and it's not good to sit on it. However, these beliefs influence reality so that there is a number of beliefs from light beliefs that are easy to change, like one might move from one culture to another and then begin to adopt the dress of the other culture, and they are easier to change, and there are very deep beliefs that influence how things work. For instance, when the doctors or the medical profession might say, say to someone, oh, you have cancer. Now, all of a sudden, all the beliefs in society and the medical establishment about cancer suddenly are adopted by the person, and they have to then have to get over the hump of all of those beliefs. Whereas if they simply believed that the cancer could just be dissolved, with the right protocol, and that it was no big deal, it would be easier to get over. So when one adopts belief, it is effective upon the person's whole system.
Even though by the medical criteria, they do have cancer. They did tests and they saw cancer. So it's actually true at that moment that by the criteria of the medical profession, they have cancer. But then when the person believes they have cancer, and when they believe they have, you know, 6 months to live, they incorporate that belief, and most people don't even look for alternative things, and yet there are probably 12 to 15 things that I've discovered or more that help cancer, that fix cancer, that
yes.
alternative clinics in Mexico use. Even ozone is one of those things that has an extremely good track record of fixing cancer. And I found one testimonial of a guy that was, usually if people have cancer, they go for a more sophisticated protocol. But somebody on the internet was just drinking ozonated water and said the cancer went away. So you have to be careful about, we create authorities of all kinds. You see them on the news. People who are quote unquote experts. And they always go to an expert as if that person can define what's going on. And great masses of people are influenced by those experts that may be wrong. Maybe even they are intentionally wrong just to program the masses. So it's tricky to figure those things out. And yet on the internet now, anyone can look for anything and they'll find other points of view and have to find the point of view that makes the most sense, that's most validatable, so that you can adjust your beliefs to the best information, not just an expert. And
yes.
Another thing.
Cells are listening. The cells are conscious. They hear. They get programmed easily. They are your followers. And so if they are programmed that they are cancerous and they've got a very bad future, then they take that on. They are your followers. However, you can't get away with it by saying, oh, no, there's nothing wrong either. You need to be able to hold both views that, okay, this is it for right now. Everything's been in flux and change in the body. Everything is created in the now, and there it is in the now. However, it can change and dissipate. And so we accept it the way it is. However, we also accept that it doesn't have to have a bad future. It can change and dissipate.
Another belief that people adopt is when they've been hurt in a relationship, or maybe they have a string of hurts, and they seem to keep repeating the same pattern, and they decide the relationships are no good, the opposite sex is no good, or the same sex is no good. Doesn't matter. It's like they think that it will always be that way. They don't open up to the possibilities that they were part of the reason the relationship failed. And if they can look in themselves deeply enough, they can start to find the pattern that creates that failure. And then they can adjust the pattern, which is not that easy, because it may come from many lifetimes of being hurt. It may be a repeated pattern over many lifetimes. And so it seems to have proven itself to them. Or maybe they've been traumatized.
It may have come from the person's childhood and the beliefs of the parents, that they may have chosen those parents to come in to those parents to work on those patterns, but they then may adopt those beliefs of the parents. And so that makes a roadblock towards getting over the pattern if one is firmly believing that the pattern is a truth.
Okay. Next question. Just a moment. This is from Terry LaBarber in Dallas. My husband died in his sleep 8 weeks ago unexpectedly. The cause still hasn't been determined. He's been troubled for some time, and I've been praying for angels to administer to him on the other side. She's kind of asking, can our sources help give her husband any solace? And is there anything she can do on this side to assist him? His name is Randy Clark.
Thank you. He is still in a state of shock and does not understand his new state of being. And we take a moment. He is questioning whether he is real or whether he is not. So we suggest speaking to him. If you cannot see him or sense him, still speak to him as if he is there. Give him your thoughts. Give him your love. Tell him he is still a person. He is there. He is loved. Tell him that he is safe in the arms of God. Just talk to him in a consoling manner, and he will pick it up. See if you can sense him around you. He is in a spin, in a tailspin, and he sees things in a disoriented way and does not understand. We are speaking to him as we are speaking, and we are seeking to stabilize him. He needs to come out of his spin. He is feeling dizzy. We are speaking slowly and more slowly and more slowly as we are slowing his spin, and we'll let him know he is loved. He is spinning on purpose in an attempt to reestablish his chakra system, and he will take some time to adjust. Speak to him during the day. Speak to him if you go for a walk. Speak to him while you are walking. Look at the trees. Orient him to his location if he is following. And speak to him even if you do not sense him, as if he is there. because he hears. He is purposely spinning because he doesn't want motion to stop. We are imparting grounding love, stabilization to him. He needs that you can be a ground for him. Let him spin, but tell him you love him. Tell him that he is okay, and it is okay where he is to sense and to be there, and you know that he is still alive. Thank you.
Is it common for someone to spin like that when they die?
It is not ordinary for someone to spin like that when they die. He is focused upon the chakra systems. The chakra systems that humans have are spinning, and he is using that to help him with his transition. Usually individuals, when they transition, are not aware of their chakra systems and are not aware of the spinning. He was dizzy when he left his body, and he is trying to reconcile this to see what happened, and he doesn't want to let go of it because he thinks it's a doorway to get back to his life.
When a person dies, do they retain a certain, do they hold the image and space of their life on the other side until they reincarnate? Or is there a point where they disperse their past life prior to reincarnating? In other words, does the amnesia, does the memory stay until they choose to come through another lifetime?
Some masters are able to reconcile their past lives and their past life memories and to hold on to them and to take on new memories and to change, transition between this realm and the higher realm. Some people, most people, retain the memory for a while and then it fades as they have new focuses and new experiences. However, the past life is there when one refocuses to recreate the memories of it being there.
Thank you. Joshua T. in Dallas asked a question about being baptized. Give me no more information on being baptized. Is that, and I would add to that, is this just a belief system? Or is there some real significance that goes beyond beliefs to the idea of baptism?
There are some things that go beyond beliefs so that there is a real connection with the body of material in the Christian religion and earlier towards being being immersed in the water and to help the water carry away any negativity and being able to be brought into present time by the feeling of the water and the body of data in the ethereal the belief of the changes and the transitions. Hold on. Okay, I'm out of trance. When his battery was dead, so he came back in. Yeah, because he needs to read the question.
So we'll hold the space and wait still.
Here I am. Next question is my computer just turned itself off, so I have to turn it on again. Let me ask another question following what occurred to me about baptism. Many religions have various rituals that their followers are taught to help make them centered, like baptism. Or if a ritual has some energy behind it, for example, if a teacher, a guru, gives you a mantra, and when he gives it to you, he's kind of in an extended, exalted state. What's the significance of rituals in general concerning religion?
Okay, nobody heard that because I was muted and couldn't unmute. So let me get back into trance. You asked a question about the significance of rituals in religion and mantras. One thing in the repeating of the mantra, it puts one in a state where in the repeating of it, it can get through to the all the complex body complex, not just the higher self, but the lower self and all the consciousness, the cells, so that the repeating of it can work its way through the whole body complex. And the danger of it is that they become hypnotized by the mantra and they just begin to act robotically based out of the knowledge and attempting to espouse the mantra, the beliefs of the mantra, and to act robotically out of the knowledge imparted by the mantra. So one needs to use the mantra to a sparing amount and not just make it something to go into hypnotically and to follow blindly.
Thank you. A message here from Ann in Waterbury, Connecticut. I have a plan to retire in March of 2017. I'm looking to clear out my house, sell it, and move. Can you give me any guidance on the best place to live next? What area, city, state might be in my divine best interest? Thank you, Anne, Waterbury, Connecticut. And, you know, I want to make a comment, Anne, is that oftentimes oftentimes, now astrologers say there are areas that you have more affinity with, but oftentimes it's the people you know in a given area that make the affinity, more so than the physicality of the area. And I think for myself, if I was going to be in your position, I would go be sure and visit an area. Maybe I would go to some groups there or churches if that's your interest. But see if you feel comfortable with the people. See if you just tell people, I'm thinking of moving here and I'm checking it out. And see if people reach back and see if you make any friends. And that would be a great reason to move to a certain location. Now, that's my answer. I'll turn it over to our sources and see what they say.
Thank you. You might consider things such as the physicality and the weather and how the ease of living in an area. Consider what it has been like to live in Connecticut where you are, and then check out other areas, for instance, Florida, to do with the ease of living, the living arrangements that are possible, the amount of money that it costs to live there, the area amenities that are available to you, groups that might, that you have been in that might have similar groups in the area that you are moving to, and get in touch with them before you go, just to see what groups are available that you would fit into, what living is like there, the availability of shopping and foods, and the ease of getting around. The more familiar you are with where you are going, the better sense you will have about what life is like in that area.
Derwin?
Next question is from Cleo in Connecticut. And please ask our sources that the karma between my husband and myself is over. We have had an unhappy marriage, and I've been told we've been repeating patterns over several lifetimes. I have forgiven him, and he has forgiven me. So I hope this is the end of our unhappiness. I appreciate your asking. And I will add the tag to that. I heard some teacher say years ago that you only have karma with yourself. And when you clear the karma with yourself, then whatever the other person has regarding their attachment, it clears that as well. So, could you comment on that idea?
Yes. You were brought together with hopes and possibilities, and things that you have in common, things that you don't have in common. If something is irritating and seems to be dividing you, then perhaps there is something there that needs to be worked on that is different, a different reason, and perhaps a reason to stay together than a dissimilar pattern of interest where you simply are interested in different things than him, and you do not have stuff in common that bring you joy together. Take a look at what brought you together in the first place. Have you fulfilled and completed those things that you wish to get out of the relationship, and that it is time to move on to greater growth, or is it just some pattern of growth that is still needed to accept and to love and to bring you together again when the irritation is gone?
Thank you. Question from Lisa in Vancouver, BC. I just want to ask a question. What can I do to make things come together in my life, in my work, in my spirituality, anything? I feel like every time I think I'm taking a step ahead, I fall or go nowhere. Any advice would be helpful. And I think many of us can relate to that question at different points in our life, and maybe even now. Thank you, Lisa, for asking it.
Thank you. Take a broader look, like draw the camera back to a greater focus, to the focus of your environment. Are you in the right location? Take a look at other factors that might be influencing the whole scene at a subconscious level. You are in British Columbia, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Subconscious undercurrents in the changes potential radiation coming in from the west, potential earth changes creating an unsettling feeling at a subconscious level, urging you to make a change, much like animals sensing changes in the earth. See if you have any resonance with that idea. That is the broad, bringing the camera scope, broadening the issue to the whole environment. Then focusing in upon your daily work and the interest that you have in that work. Is there something else that also interests you more that you would be preferring to do? Is there some activity that you are drawn to that you are not doing now? Something that you could bring gradually into your life, lean into it a little bit, and see if it is something that you would prefer to do. You do not have to bring it in full time, but when you have a leaning towards an activity to definitely take a few courses or work with some people in a group by you that are doing something, attend a meeting, seeing if the leanings that you have towards another activity are something that would fan your interest as you look into it and lean into it a little bit more to test the field and to see what it is that might bring you more fulfillment. It might be something that you were not led to when you were in your childhood, but something that you kind of always wanted to do, and see where your passion lies.
Yeah, I would say, instead of sitting in dilemma, wondering what it is, go out and do some things that you wouldn't normally do, like look up Meetup and look at groups that are meeting. You know, Meetup, if you're not familiar with it, meetup.com lists all kinds of people who are having little group meetings under every subject under the sun, from riding bicycles in the woods to weird sex to spirituality to UFOs to ETs. And they usually don't cost anything. It's just a round table that meets at a restaurant and people talk about those things. See,
we are not suggesting any of those things. We're suggesting you see what is there to follow your own heart.
I'm not suggesting any of those topics. I'm just suggesting browse through Meetup in Vancouver and see if one pops out at you and says, this sounds interesting, okay? Or this sounds interesting. You just go there and see what happens. See if any energies get moved in you. Next question from Steve Kozlowski. He doesn't have a city, but it's kind of a general question. Does the Elohim enter into a relationship with us and transmute psychological pain and negative energy into positive or manifestations of the positive? I believe so, but I would like to hear their response.
Yes, we do. We particularly pay attention when you ask and come to attention and then focus. We can see your light of asking, and we do make contact, and we do focus and help bring in areas of the Elohim that have skills towards helping release in psychological pain that has been built up. We are speaking slowly as we are looking in to that area and achieving that with some of the pain you have experienced. Keep asking.
Thank you very much. That's our last question for the night. That's the end of our time for the night. So we're going to bring this session to a close. Raiden, you asked a question, and could you tell a little bit more about what you're asking about, like the date, the time, the city, the circumstance, a little bit more, okay? I still don't know if they're going to answer it, but please give a little more help in the way you frame the question, okay? And on that note, it's 7:56, Wednesday. Thank you all for your questions. We'll see you all again on Sunday morning, or those of you that want to come. And I want to congratulate Marilyn and Heis on doing a great show on Monday. If you haven't listened to it, go back in the archives we're going to do something different once a month, where we're going to, not me, we're going to interview somebody, like Marilyn interviewed Hive, who is our greeter. And many of the people here on these calls have done extraordinary work on the call. Some of you have super abilities that you do out in the world. So we're going to find out who you are and share them with the world. So on that note, here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
Everybody's unmuted. We'll see you next time.
Bye, all.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you.
Love that.
Thank you,
Marilyn,
for being a greeter.
Oh, no problem, Lynn. Anytime.
We're going to bug you. Okay.
Okay.
The recording has stopped.